I'm Anna Horford, and you're listening to the Celtics Life Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, inside the Celtics Life Podcast. I'm Mark Allison here with my man Justin Quinn. We got some interesting news this week. Our man Gordon Hayward, out of his walking boot, looking good so far. Justin, we got Gordon Hayward walking on 2 feet. What's going on?
I'm really, really, really trying to temper my expectations, but given the last, half dozen games or so, it's really hard not to think about this.
Yeah, I mean, I said this, me and Topher talked about this quite a bit last week on the podcast. As Justin knows, and a lot of listeners do because I've talked about it before, I broke my ankle, the same bone last year. Obviously, not as gruesome looking as Gordon's because my foot didn't come out like sideways all like because it got dislocated there. But in all honesty, I did that the beginning of February, and I was playing basketball in June, right? So count those months. What's that? February, March, April, May, June. Now, granted, I don't, jump and dunk and shit, but at the same time, I was actually running up and down playing basketball. So I said from the beginning, I didn't think they could rule him out for the year. I thought that was just to him saying, the agent coming out and saying he wasn't going to play and whatever comments they made at the beginning. I really think that was just more or less like just to take the pressure off him.
Absolutely. Expectation management, and it puts them in the position to use the DPE, the designated player exception, which if you aren't familiar with that, basically it's just like a trade exception, except for you can only use it for $8.4 million only on one player and only if they have no remaining years on their contract.
Now, they only get the DPE. Like, if they get the DPE and use it, then Gordon can't come back.
Nope. They can actually use it and he can come back. Because it's only granted on the presumption that the player will not be coming back this year. It has nothing to do with whether they actually come back this year. And they also have, I think, till either the 13th or the 14th of March to use it.
Okay. So, and he's not, even if he does come back, it wouldn't be before then. I mean, it's unlikely. It wouldn't be before that anyway. So,
almost certainly not.
Yeah. So, I mean, you'd be looking at probably a late March, early April for him to come back anyways. But I mean, and here's the thing too, a lot of people say just I don't want to talk about the Hayward injury the whole time, but a lot of people talk about coming back from the injury and just wait till next year, they're playing well, next year's the year we're going to go for it and whatnot. And here's the thing, like if his ankle is healed and they say it's 100%, it's like he's not going out there and there's not going to be a chance of him re-injuring that.
I mean, not from the injury, just from chance. That's the only, that would be the most freakish of freak injuries.
Right, exactly, yeah. But so if his bone is healed and, it's at that point, it's all working out the muscles and getting it back to using it at, the way that you used to. So obviously, you want to make sure you're, doing that at the, under precaution. But at the same time, if he's cleared from the doctors, like when I hurt myself, the doctor told me, you're fine. You can do whatever you want now, And okay, then that's it. Boom. I didn't go see the physical therapist again after that. So it's once they get you to that level with 100%, and he's obviously doing much more extensive training and stuff. So I mean, they're not going to put him in a situation where it's possible to re-injure that or cause damage because of that injury. So that people can put that aside. If he comes back to play, he's ready to go. They're not going to mess around with that.
Who do you think, given how well the Celtics roster has played without him? It's pretty obvious that Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are the two clear leaders for the two best players on the team. And, you can interpret that in a variety of different ways of what that actually means. But who's the third best player who's actually healthy? So I'm not talking about Gordon Hayward. He would obviously be, at the top of that list also. And Marcus Morris could also be, potentially a candidate, but I think he's been missing so much time and he's currently missing time. So,
right. He hasn't really played enough to, yeah.
So who would you say would be some reasonable candidates for the third best player on the Celtics right now?
I mean, crazy as it sounds, right? The Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, right? The rookie, the sophomore, probably two of the most consistent guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
We all know Marcus Smart and his intangibles. Obviously, the shooting's a suspect still. But it's got to be one of those three guys, right?
I really couldn't add anybody else on there. I mean, really, really recently, Aaron Baines has been looking really good also. And Shane Larkin also. We can talk about that a little bit more if you want to. But I don't quite think that they have risen to the level of play of those two guys you just mentioned.
No, and I'd say, I mean, those guys have been the most consistent. I mean, and Smart, Mr. Intangibles, he's pretty hard to replace, right? Because a lot of the things that he does, there's not a lot of guys that can do all those things, especially at his size. But I would say the third best player is probably either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, and that's crazy. I mean, I thought Jaylen Brown was going to have a huge year this year, just based on, you know, whatever, watching stupid off-season videos and thinking like he looked like he was ready to go. And seriously, though, I mean, I thought he was going to have a huge, you know, year. But, you know, you kind of thought he was going to be a glorified role player because Hayward was going to be taking the minutes that he's getting now.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, him and Tatum both, it's crazy.
For me, I think Smart shooting takes him out. Like, I don't put the same level as a lot of our fans do on his shooting as long as he stays above 30% overall. Mm-hmm. And I have a reason for that. You know, 30%, you know, from 2-point, never mind 3-point, is horrible, absolutely horrible. And he's shot worse than that in a couple of games recently, which we can also talk about. But as long as he stays above 30% or so, I feel that his, you know, I haven't sat down. Someone should really, you know, try to dive into some of the deflections and other not commonly used statistics to try to see how many of those bricks that he puts up end up either going right back to a Celtic or are deflected away. Like if you put the numbers of deflections, you know, hustle plays, all that sort of thing, I kind of feel like roughly a third of them are reclaimed by him. So it's almost like canceling out those bad possessions. It's just when he gets to the really, really bad shooting nights that he had up until very recently that I think that he's actually really, he would probably take, if he could shoot like 40% from the field consistently, he would probably be the third best player on this team. For me, it's Jaylen Brown, just because he has been the most consistent as a two-way player. If Jason Tatum shot more, I think I would give it to Jason Tatum. I may end up flipping. It's kind of hard to argue against the statistically significant leader of three-point shooting in the NBA as the best player or third best player on this team. But
no, I agree. And with the fact that Jason has been pretty clutch down the stretch too. And I don't know what the numbers are, but you just notice like even if he's having a bad shooting night, he's, you know, fourth quarter rolls around, final few minutes, and he's like driving to the hoop, layup, you know, hitting big shots. He hit that huge ISO shot the other day, you know, so that's huge. But at the same time, I think that Jaylen Brown's defense also puts him ahead of Tatum. You know, Tatum's been a solid defender, but Jaylen Brown's on-ball defense has been pretty spectacular for a guy in his second year.
There's been some rumbles around the league. So we are recording this on Tuesday morning, and Woj just put out an article linking Anthony Davis with a team that might surprise you.
Yeah,
about the Celtics. I'm kidding.
Yeah, you startled me for a second there. But it was kind of a weird read. I mean, it was like, you know, Davis was talking about his time there, how winning is important to him, and you know, it kind of shifted gears all over the place. But and he was talking about how he wants to stay in New Orleans and wants to win in New Orleans. He's happy with the guys they've added. He likes DeMarcus Cousins. He likes playing against them, even though they had a rough start. It was a little weird with the two big guys calling for the ball on the block. He likes Rondo. Likes Drew Holiday, so he likes the guys he's playing with, wants to win, but at the same time, he was talking about how he doesn't think a team with, you need three or four stars to compete.
Yep.
And
no offense, Toronto.
Yeah, and kind of a knock at Drew Holiday, too, because what he did say, you need at least three stars. So, yeah, a subtle dig there from a guy that's getting paid $25 million a year now. But the Celtics came up, and he talked about how he's heard, he knows that the Celtics have been kicking the tires on him for a long time. And, you know, he was just talking about what a great organization and blah, 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 stuff like that. But just, you know, it was just a weird vibe where he's talking about how he wants to stay there, and yet, you know, just talking about another team like that.
I definitely thought that article was a little bit stilted in its construction, in that we didn't really have any indication that what was being spoken about was any different than maybe 3 or 4 months ago. Like right about the beginning of the season, it came out that Anthony Davis was connected again with Boston. And more or less what was in this article regarding Boston sounded kind of just like a rehash of that. So it didn't really sound like anything new had happened. So there might not even be, in my opinion, any actual interest, like active interest in trading for him. So I'm kind of, you know, a little cool on this. And one thing that really stuck out in my mind was he mentioned the Isaiah Thomas trade as an example of how things can just, you know, it's a business and things can move along really, really quickly in ways that you won't even expect. So if he's mentioning that, it doesn't exactly sound like Boston would be at the top of his list of places to go either.
Right.
Kind of had a negative.
A little negative connotation there, yeah.
Diplomatic negative, but negative. It wasn't presented positively, understandably. Besides him, though, there's some other guys that I've been hearing about. Marc Gasol, for example, with the Memphis Grizzlies, reportedly accept a trade, though he isn't requesting. And he's a guy who's been connected to Boston in the past. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's in Memphis's best interest to get rid of him as soon as possible, right? They're the third bottom team right now. What their pick that we're supposed to get is what, top eight protected?
Yep.
So you want to make sure that that's within the top eight. You know, there's a few other bum teams down there that are just ahead of them by a game, half a game. So it wouldn't take much for them to slip out of the top eight. If I'm the Grizzlies, they're going nowhere. I think they're, what are they? Third, 9-21, third worst record in the league. I think you got to jettison Gasol as quickly as you can. I don't know that the Celtics are a great fit because any deal that we're sending for Gasol, we're going to give it Al Horford, right?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, because, I mean, the salary match, I mean, what else are we going to trade? So I don't necessarily understand how big of an upgrade that is. I mean, even if you like Gasol more, we'd lose it. You know, I just don't see the huge benefit there.
Yeah, he's also the wrong age. You know, he's got years left on that contract, and there's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. Even though he reinvented himself with his outside shot, you know, big guys over the age of 30, it's always risky, and he's got a history of foot and back injuries too. So, I'm personally very good on trading for Gasol, you know, now or ever, really, at this point. Mm. And he just doesn't really fit the roster in any way, you know, not through anything other than we need shooting and scoring as a second option, just, you know, maybe not from a guy who's going to possibly be as good or worse than Dirk this year.
Right. And I don't know how many years that Gasol has left on his deal, but I know that Al Horford's – okay, so Horford's up next year, which lines up with – Jaylen Brown being a free agent, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So you're going to need some money to sign him. Maybe you can get Horford back at a senior discount at that point. I mean, he'll be, what, 34? You know, I mean, but there's a reasonable, you have more options when it comes to that. And I don't think you want all that money clogged up with Marc Gasol, even if you thought he was better. I don't know how much better. I don't think he's much better than Al Horford. But,
oh, he's definitely not.
Right. And we've seen what Al Horford, how he fits with this team. He plays great with Kyrie Irving. I don't know why you would mess with that when your team's in first place. So I'm out on Gasol.
They do have another player that I would really, really like to see Boston kick the tires on should they decide to even just do a partial rebuild. And that would be Tyreke Evans, who's having a career year. He's only making $3.2 million.
Yep.
Which would fit very nicely into the disabled player exception. So something to keep an eye on. I also have been hearing that Paul George is now officially, they're saying he's not being considered for a trade, but there were some rumors circulating through the NBA media sphere a couple of days ago to that effect. Any interest, any interest on your end?
Paul George?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how that deal would work.
Exactly. Same.
So, I mean, it would be, you know, and at that point, too, we're talking about a guy that's coming off the books at the end of the year with all the LA stuff. I was in to take a shot at George last year when he had a year left because, like you see, guys come here and they like it here and they're primed to stay, I would think, more often than not. So I was willing to roll the dice on that and give up more than a lot of people wanted to last year, but not with just a couple months left before his contract's up. I don't know. I don't think it makes a ton of sense. As talented as he is, I mean, and I would think, you got to figure OKC figures there. You know, they're 15-15, I think, right now, right? 500. They're the eighth seed out west. They're going to be a tougher team in the playoffs because they have these guys. And you figure they got a little more time to play with each other. And it's not like they can't make additions at the deadline, too. So if I'm them, I'm rolling the dice and keeping him. I mean, I don't know what they would get for him for a few-month rental anyways.
It's really hard to say at this point. The Clippers and Charlotte are also doing horrible, you know, speaking of very injured teams. Anyone on either of those teams you might be interested in?
So that Lou Williams, I put him right up there with Tyreek, both of these guys. I was talking in the comments with somebody the other day about I suggested Tyreek, someone suggested Lou Williams. I said I tend to agree I would take Lou Williams over Tyreek, but I don't know if I would. Tyreek's got a couple years under him. Yeah, so Lou's expiring seven. He's got a $7 million deal expiring this year. So, I mean, fits in the DPE. Personally, I don't care what Wick has to play in tax or whatever. They still have to pay tax on that, right?
Yep.
So, whatever. But
it's his money. We'll spend it.
Right. They're very similar, though. Tyreek's a little bigger, and he's a better rebounder. I think he does other things better, too, as well as just score. And he's shooting better this year, too. 42% from the outside. And Lou's shooting like 38 or 39, which is, still great. You got to figure those are – they want guys that can hit that outside shot, obviously.
Another guy I would keep an eye on should Charlotte decide to blow it up is Jeremy Lamb. He is a long wing who can score. He's a guy – he wouldn't be eligible for the DPE because he has another year, but he might be a good swap for Marcus Morris if it looks like Marcus Morris is going to be continually like rehabbing that knee or needing surgery or something like that. Might be a good way to give them another year of value by what he has on his contract while also – giving us something this year that can actually play.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. And his contract expires next year too. So he's 25 years old. So there's still some room to grow there. It'd be cool to see what Brad Stevens gets out of him. Yeah, I another good addition.
So about that significant time that Morris may be missing, we don't know what it is. We know it's a knee.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard any information based on what the actual problem itself is? Because basically everything that I've heard about it has been very nebulous.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've been really vague about it. Obviously the Seas are playing well, although had we lost that game last night, we would have lost three of our last five. So maybe they're not playing quite that well. But they're probably playing their worst basketball of the season, honestly. But they're still holding, they still got, two games over Cleveland right now. So, obviously you don't want to rush him back. You'd rather him rest and come back, even if it's in January, February, whatever. I don't think it's going to be that mount, but I honestly, like you said, I don't really know.
On that same tip, Al Horford has had some scheduled rest. I think it was a Chicago game. He ended up playing, and then they had him sit the next game against... he was playing with a. I think he's like smashed his shin or his patella or something like that, like knocked knees or something like that. But who did he play the next game? Denver. He played Denver the next game. Mm-hmm. People were really freaking out that it was a bad idea. And in retrospect, now it kind of seems like it might be a good idea. What are your thoughts?
The thing is, the scheduled rest. It's interesting because I know, don't we have a really like wide open schedule in January? Given that we have the travel game, the England game.
Yep, that is exactly what it's from. We have the busiest December schedule, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And for a guy like, Al has no injury history that is particularly worrisome for a big guy. But he is getting older, and he is clearly one of the most, if not the most important part of what makes this team work
right
now. So I am perfect. Like, at the moment, I was questioning the timing of it because I didn't know that it had been scheduled a considerable amount of time earlier. But after reading a little bit more about it and learning a little bit more about it, I definitely think it was actually the right move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if that's what they think that it, they need to keep him fresh, I'm good with it. You know, that's fine by me.
So that 500 record, should we be worried about that?
I mean, well, so what are we looking at here? We had a missed Kyrie missed the game against Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Was that the first game of this stretch or the second one? It was.
I think it was the first.
Okay. Yeah. So. Obviously, and just like you said, this team missing Al Horford would be a different team altogether. So, and we saw right what it looked like without Kyrie Irving. They were pretty lost on offense. Kyrie is not only the guy that sets guys up, but he's also the guy that scores. I mean, so yeah. And when they needed buckets, you know, there's no. It was to watch them struggle that much against a team like Chicago, not exactly a team setting the world on fire, and. They were, I mean, that was pretty tough to watch. They lost by almost 20, right? Was it 108-83? Something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Oh, my God.
There were a lot of injuries going. I mean, I mentioned the
right.
the knee-to-knee contact that you know, had people worried about. Al, you mm-hmm. know, Kyrie, we all know, was in his mask. He's out of it now. Jaylen Brown got poked in the eye and was trying, you know, glasses.
Oh, those goggles.
I mean, they looked very stylish.
They did. Horace Grant would be very excited about those.
Yeah, particularly if he was playing the Celtics.
Right.
He was not shooting very well with those things. He changed the contacts, as some of you know, and his shot came right back. So it was definitely vision related. But then poor Tice got bashed in the face this week too, and he's in a mask now. They didn't even know he was going to make the trip on the road.
He's a little scarier in that mask than Kyrie was. Maybe it's just because of his size, but he looks pretty intimidating.
Oh, he's a very intense fellow. So I think that might also have something to do with it. So did you see the new jerseys that got leaked in NBA 2K.
I don't know why they have to go back to the gray all the time. I don't like it. But at the same time, I did think it was cool, that little parquet
pattern
design. Yeah, I wish they would have just done that with like a white jersey, though, no?
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Move the colors around and then have the parquet like faded in the back. I think that would have looked sick. And it would have looked a little more traditional with the white, right?
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. The gray jerseys, they just remind me of those gross sleeved ones they had. And
those are the worst.
I don't like it. Yeah. And it feels like every team goes with gray as like the alternate color too. I don't know.
It's definitely the hot new thing. University of Connecticut men's basketball team has great alternates, and I hate them. I really dislike them.
Yeah, I guess if you're the Celtics, though, really, what other color? You know, green and white, and you don't really have another color. I love the black jerseys. But besides that, what else are you going to do besides gray? It has to be like a neutral color like that, right?
Let's get into the game, since we've been talking about them so much.
Well, that Chicago mess was the first game last week.
I know.
108-85. I was close. I said 83. So that was the game that Kyrie missed. Nobody scored 20 points. We had a bunch of guys get into double digits, but nobody really took over.
Nobody could shoot. It was so bad.
Yeah, we got the 1-2 punch of Mirotić and
Portis.
Portis.
Who could ever have predicted? Okay, so I picked up Mirotić, Nico Mirotić, in my fantasy league, and I have to say that as much as it really sucked watching him destroy the Celtics in this game, I don't know what's like getting punched in the face was like the best thing that's ever happened to this guy.
And hey, and how about the play of my man Chris Dunn, PC alum? He's looked like night and day since last year, right?
Since this and game, basically, this was when he started getting really good.
I know, and he's this past week plus, he's been off the you know, looks like a first, you know, top five pick. Everybody was killing them for that trade last year, but if they picked up two potential franchise players in Dunn and Markkanen, I think they did just all right. You know, they did pretty damn good.
So if we have the Splash Brothers and we have the Stash Brothers, could we say that Nico and Portis are the Bash Brothers?
I like it. I like it. I think that's great. Dude, how are they getting along now? Is there anything written about that?
Yeah, I'm sure there has been.
I remember that it wasn't going to be a good makeup, but apparently they've made up, huh?
Yep. Actually, I mean, I haven't heard anything from Marotic, but Marotic. I'm just going to say Marotic because it rhymes with erotic, and that's haha. He has not said anything, but Bobby Portis was on record as saying that they have made up and it's in the past and they're just trying to win games, which, mm-hmm. you know, that's exactly what I would expect him to say. I'm really curious to hear.
What is the guy that actually got punched in the mouth?
Exactly. I mean, he didn't just get punched, man. He got a fractured jaw.
He got rocked. I know.
Evidently with one punch, too, man.
Well, Bobby Portis is a big boy, so even, you know, that's going to do some damage.
Do you know about his deal, about how he gets himself psyched to play?
No.
He uses method acting. He visualizes people beating up his mother.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of dark.
It's very dark, but it seems to work.
Well, he clearly thought Nico beat up his mom when he laid him out there. I think he should keep that for the opponents. Jeez.
So, anything else we want to touch on for the Chicago game before we move on?
No, that was a mess. I don't want to talk about it again. So Denver, the offense, got back on track. Kyrie came back, right? 33-7. Jalen dropped 26. Big swing in Baines came back with 17 points in that one. The offense was rolling. I mean, it was 124, 118. Obviously, you'd prefer that they played a little better defense. Usually,
what's that?
But they shot 60% from the floor. They won the game. Yep. But obviously, giving up 118 points, the defense clearly struggled to some degree.
You know, speaking of Jaylen Brown's glasses, did you catch Brad's comments?
No. What's that?
He said, we had some laughs in retrospect, speaking about his shooting. We had, in retrospect about that. Retrospect about that. I said, retrospect. Speaking of Horace Green.
Oh, man. I didn't see that. That's awesome. Topher would love that.
Terrible.
He's a big fan of the dad jokes.
So am I, man. That just made me cringe.
So Utah, then. We got Utah. Another 36-6 from Kyrie. Obviously, they're much better when he's in the game. Al had a big game, 21-6-7. How about Marco Rubio? I mean, Ricky Rubio. Marco Rubio. Yeah, right. But, dude, he's been pretty good for Utah this year. That's awesome. I wasn't expecting that. And I think they've been a little better than I thought they were going to be.
Well, Jonas Jerebko definitely had his revenge game for that too. So
that's right. The Jonas is 17 points. Did he even score 17 points ever when he was with us? I think he had a 20-point game once, didn't he?
Yeah, I think also the Cleveland game he had double digits, like 13 or 15 or something like that.
Yeah, but I know he scored double digits a handful of times, but 17, that's got to be one of the top scoring games he would have had with the Celtics.
Right,
for sure.
Really? Yeah, you know, he's really motivated.
Yeah, so, hey, good for him, man. I as long as we get the win, right? You get yours, and, we'll take that. But we held the defense back on track. We held them under 100, 107, 95. And, we lost. That's right. I mixed up the two games. I was looking at the Memphis, so we won the game against Memphis, obviously. We lost to Utah.
Yeah.
107.95.
Yeah, so the thing about that, too, is Favors and Gobert were both out in the opening minutes of the game, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and just to top it off, that was the game that Tice got bashed in the face, getting his nose broken. Jaylen Brown got his elbow sliced open, smashing Favors in the face. Like, it was closer to a boxing match. It was brutal.
Yeah, and Rodney Hood, Donovan Mitchell both had 17. 3-point shooting specialists, and Gordon Hayward's best friend, Joe Ingles, with 12-8. And then our man Jonas with 17. And you know what? Jonas played really good on defense, too. He had some stats. I remember seeing some highlights after that game. And something that I saw after the game, too, Jonas has been playing like ridiculous interior defense this year. He's like top 5 in the league in field goals against from inside like 5 feet.
Really?
Yeah, Not, no joke. He's up there with all like the big dogs. He's not playing much more than he played with us either. I mean, so he averaged like 17 minutes a game last year with us, and he's only averaging like two more minutes a game, and he's averaging almost twice as many points. He's averaging like close to seven, where he was averaging 3.5 last year. So
I haven't seen too much of him apart from playing Boston. So I'm really curious to know if it's system or if he just like took a step somehow. Like
I haven't seen that many Utah games, but those are just the stats I found when I was looking into it after the game. After I wanted to see how good he was doing, I was like, wow, pretty impressive.
So that Memphis game, we won 102-93. Mm-hmm. It was a bit of a grind. You know, the kids were really playing kind of lackadaisically. After the game, Jason Tatum, you know, he commented about how at this point of the year, he's usually wrapping up a season like that in terms of like calendar wise, but in terms of number of games, he's usually wrapping up a season like 30-something games. You know, these kids aren't really used to it. That said, he had a really, really good game, Tatum. 19 points, 9 rebounds. You know, Horford was flirting with a triple-double, 15, 7, and 6. Baines had another good game, 13 and 6.
So Gasol was a monster. He had 30 and 10, and he had that huge third quarter. We were winning big all to start. They started chipping away in the second quarter. They outscored us. They came back into it. And then the third quarter, Gasol scored like 23 points himself or something ridiculous like that in the third quarter alone. And then the Celtics came out in the fourth quarter, ran off. Yeah, because Gasol had to come out, right? He played the whole third quarter. They had to give him a blow to start the fourth quarter, and we ran off a 16-0 run to put the game away. I remember that because I did the recap, and that was a fun game. They managed. They were down like 20 after one, and then they came back, managed to take the lead. They were up 2 or 3 heading into the fourth, and then the 16 points, and that was all she wrote. That was a fun game to watch. Well, it was a little infuriating in the middle, but it was fun. At least the fourth quarter was fun. And that brings us to last night's game. I did not get to see this game, and of course I missed the game where Terry Rozier steals the ball and dunks to win the game. I mean, when was the last time you think a dunk won a game?
Oh, man, I can't even remember.
Like when a team was losing and like, I mean, that's crazy.
So full disclosure, I did not see this game either, and I have a good reason for it. I'm also a college professor, and this week is hell week for college professors in most schools because grades are due. So, right. You know, like most of these games this week I've been watching while I'm grading, but there's this other thing that's going on in my life. You may have heard of it. It's called Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a, you know, obscure cult movie. I don't know if you guys out there have heard of it, you know. But to me...
So you went to go see Star Wars on a game night, Justin?
I did, but this is why I couldn't see it until I finished my grades. And I finished my grading on Sunday. So Monday, I decided I was going to, you know, treat myself and see Star Wars before a Jablone ends up screwing me with spoilers. Because that always happens. I made it that far without seeing them, mostly because I was grading so goddamn much I couldn't be on social media. So, you know, Star Wars... You got to go early and get your tickets or you're not going to be – you can't just show up and expect to get in. It's not going to happen. I take my phone with me, watching the box score, waiting in line, watching the box score. Game's going great. Got a double-digit lead. All of a sudden, it's a single-digit lead. And Topher's asking what the hell's going on in the group chat. And I'm sitting here looking at my phone, getting nervous. Have to go into the theater because the movie's starting and we're only up a couple. Then suddenly we're down, it's like 30 seconds, and we're in a 5-point hole, and I'm just like, all right, movie starting, screw it, it's over. At least I got Star Wars.
Well, can you imagine if you were watching the box score and saw like that transpire? You probably wouldn't have believed it either, right?
I probably would have got kicked out of the movie theater, to be honest, if I could actually have seen what was happening. I watched it later. It was a hell of a sequence. For those of us who... still haven't seen it, and you should see it. We've got the highlights up. You can check it out on CelticsLife.com. Rozier basically intercepted a pass after a bunch of, you know, scramble hustle plays from Smart and from Kyrie before that. Terry Rozier was covering Bojanovic, I guess is how you say his name.
Well, he wasn't even near him though at the time, right? He switched
exactly
off, didn't he?
And Bojan, instead of trying to shoot it himself, which he probably could have, he tried to get it to Oladipo, and in the arc of the pass, Rozier in his 7-foot freaking reach just somehow popped it loose, and like you could see him like just instinctively start sprinting in the direction the ball was going, and like you saw his head look toward the side, and I didn't know what was going on at the time, like why he was looking at the audience, but he wasn't looking at the audience, he was looking at the shot clock to see if he had enough time, whether or not he had to shoot it or dunk it, and he had just enough time to dunk it, and there was like 1.1 seconds left after he dunked it.
Yeah, and I mean, he basically threw him like an alley-oop at center court, like it was Bogdan to Oladipo, and like it was like just, I mean, he just lobbed it up there. And we if you go to CelticsLife.com, we have an article where they break down both the announcers. Awesome. And so to listen to the Indiana announcers, I think it's Gerald Henderson or somebody. It's a former player, and he goes, oh no, oh no, oh no, when the ball's in the air still. Oh, it's tremendous. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it. But I imagine most of you probably have because you're all sick Celtics fans, I guess. But unbelievable, too funny.
So we've got the week coming up versus Miami. We are playing them at home. And
they are banged
up.
Oh,
man, they are competing with the Clippers for the most banged-up squad in the league.
Yeah. I mean, so this should be a win. Some of these guys might play, too. Most of them are already ruled out, right? Whiteside's out. So, I mean, this should be a win.
Yeah, Dragic is dealing with some elbow issues. Waiters and Hammonds are sick, so they seem like they might be more likely.
Yeah, questionable, yep.
And,
right?
And Winslow is still having an issue.
Winslow's doubtful.
And Johnson is nursing, I think, a sprained ankle. I expect a win here. I mean, they've only won, I think, what, 5 of the last 10? And, you know, somehow they are still in the playoff picture despite all this, so I wouldn't take it too lightly. But, yeah, I agree. It should be a win.
Mm-hmm.
What else we got?
And then we got the Knicks. This is at New York. But another injury benefit, well, could be a benefit to us, is Kristaps Porzingis is going to be questionable with a knee. And Tim Hardaway Jr. is definitely out. So, obviously, if those two guys are both out, then there should be another easy win. But if Kristaps does play, I'll be interested to see if we can replicate what we did the last time we played them, where he was awful in that game.
Yeah, Horford.
I'll be interested to see if we can keep him grounded again. And then we have Chicago again, and Markkanen also might be out. Right? I expect them to come out guns blazing for this game just because they beat us last week. Right? I mean, whether they're healthy or not, I assume that the Celtics will be ready to play them.
I hope so, man, because if we lose to the Bulls twice without Dwayne Wade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't see it happen. Anything else you got?
No, I mean, we got a lot of stuff coming out on the site, so you should definitely be checking. We got a bunch of new authors working for us, and you definitely want to check out their stuff. Of course, you want to check out the links at typeofcelticslife.com. You can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure you subscribe. You don't ever want to miss an episode. Trust me on this one. And if you like what you hear, please rate us 5 stars. Tell your friends. Tell them they should also rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something, let us know. We will, you know, we read the comment section of every article. If you direct about the pod, it's more helpful if it's about the podcast, the article you comment on. Same with tweets. Or you can also use the hashtag CLPOD, CLPOD, and we'll hear about it, we'll read it, and if we can, we will incorporate your suggestions as long as they don't suck. So, I'm going to get us out of here. Mark, you got anything else you want to say before we are out?
I'm good. Thanks, guys.
Take care, y'all.